a great day in the neighborhood. It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be a mom as we celebrate all the moms. Happy Mother's Day to you. And maybe you have your grandma here, or you have your mom here, or someone that has played that motherly role in your life. Happy Mother's Day to all of the moms that are here and obviously watching online. This morning I woke up with like, man, my mom passed away a little bit around 2008 or something, and always when it comes, whether her birthday falls or Mother's Day, and I'm like, wow, I wish my mom was still here so I can love on her and tell her how much I love her and just an incredible mom that she was to me growing up. And so if your mom is alive, your mom is here, make sure you love on your mom. Call her, love on her, text her, send her pictures, buy her flowers, buy her some candy, take her out to lunch, to dinner, and just don't do it on one day. Do it every day, right? As much as you can. Amen? All righty. So we kicked off last. Well, first of all, my name is Efren Pena. I'm the campus pastor here. If you're visiting us for the first time, we're glad that you're spending your day with us, and especially Mother's Day. And so last week we kicked off our new series, God's Got Questions. Now, obviously, we've got a lot of questions for God, but as it turns out, he's got some questions for us as well. The Bible is absolutely full of these questions, and I know what you're thinking, right? I know what you're thinking, but doesn't God already know everything? Right? Why does he have questions for us? But you would think that he does, but when God came to earth in the form of Jesus, he asked way more questions than he answered. Is God just messing with us? Is he just messing with us? What if these questions are more for us than they are for him? So here at Southfields, why don't we just ask the questions and see what we can learn from God, from the universe, and ourselves? And so last week, Alec was here, was filling in for me as I was in Georgia for Maddie's graduation. And the question God was asking, yeah, thank you. Yes, congratulations, Maddie. The question that God was asking was, who told you that? Who told you that? If you want to catch that again, if you missed it, you can go online to our Spotify, catch it a podcast, or watch it online on our YouTube channel. But today's question, the next question that he has for us is this: do you have a right to be angry? In other words, do you have a right to be an angry elf, right? And that's the question that God is asking us. Ever seen a mom do this, freaking out about something, and you think to yourself, like, lady, come on, it's not that serious. Like, come on, get a grip, right? Some of you have. In fact, some of you have been that mom. That was a funny, that was a laugh. That was a joke, right? Some of the moms already like looking at me with that look of death. Anyway, some of you lost it completely on something that was small but felt big at the time. Why? Because you couldn't take it anymore. You just couldn't do it anymore. You were exhausted and overwhelmed. You were barely holding it together. And that one more thing happened, and you just came unhinged. And the worst part was someone else was there to witness it. And as embarrassing as it is, imagining what it must look like through the eyes, through the lens of someone else without any context, is the only real reason you realize it might look crazy. That someone is looking at you, popping off, and that you look absolutely crazy right now. Maybe that was the only reason you questioned, why did I do that? Why did I let this happen? Some of us try to bury it and move on. But anyone who takes the time to dig below the surface realizes, oh, this was not about that it was really about this. And listen, this isn't just a mom thing. This is a people thing. We've all have done it at some point or another. Why did I go off on my boss? Why did I feel like keying that guy's car? Why did I feel like throwing the coffee mug at my husband? Why did I nearly kick a hole in the vending machine? A lot of times when it's happening to us, we're not self-aware enough to realize, I'm not mad about this. I'm mad about what it represents. And that is a different thing. And that is a different thing altogether. And even though this is true, it's almost impossible to successfully suggest this to someone in the moment, especially if you're married to them. Babe, I'm not really sure this is about my socks, as you say it behind the door. People in Scripture, it's a tough crowd this morning. People in Scripture had this same tendency, and God graciously helped them explore their anger so that they could figure out where it was coming from, right? The root of it, and to identify the deep inner work that would be needed in order to feel whole again. And this morning, I want us to explore an example together. But here's what I want you, or here's what I need you to know and understand about this passage that I'm about to read in order for it to make sense. Many of you have heard or read the story of Jonah, the prophet, right? And so here's the thing. Jonah was a prophet. And God comes to him and says, listen, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell the evil people who live there to repent. But Joseph doesn't want to go. And so he boards a boat in the opposite direction. A massive storm comes about. The boat's about to flip and sink. And Jonah wonders if it's his fault that this is happening because he's running from God. And so he feels so depressed and so ashamed that he tells his sailors to throw him off the boat, to throw him off the boat to see if this will turn things around and stop the storm. And they do, and it does, right? We've read that before. And then along comes a giant fish, and it swallows him whole. And after 3 days, the whale pukes him into the land. And he goes to Nineveh and tells them that God is angry with them and that they're sin and that they've sinned, and if they don't repent and make some changes in their life, that God is going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And so what do? They repent. The king actually creates a law whereby everyone, including pets, had to fast and focus on God and getting to know him. And they do. They make it happen, and they all become followers of God. And Jonah gets angry about this. Jonah is super furious. And then this weird scene plays out. I'm going to read this. And in Jonah chapter 4, starting in verse 5, it says, then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord had arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plants. Verse 7, but God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away, the plant that is. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, is it right? Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, he said, even angry enough to die. Now, the reason this is a good question is because Jonah's response to Jonah's response is disproportionate to the situation that he's facing. And this is a hint that this is about something deeper. Something deeper. It seems like reasonable, or does it seem reasonable for anyone to become enraged and curse out a plant? Have you ever done that before? Have you ever been so mad at this plant, at this fig tree, and you started to grab it by the base and shake it? I don't know if you have, but I would say it's not reasonable to do that. But I will say that we've all been in a similar situation before. And the way God is asking this question indicates that there are some things that we may have the right to be angry about. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:26 through 27, don't sin in your anger. Don't sin in your anger. And the word anger, like love, can mean many different things. So let me give you a couple of different definitions that is tied into anger that will help us get to the bottom of what's going on in this story. So let's start off by defining anger. Anger is a reactive feeling that says something is wrong and needs to be set right. So anger comes about because something is wrong and needs to be set right. It's a reactive feeling, which we all know isn't bad. In fact, it's fundamentally good. It indicates that you have a sense of justice, right and wrong. And if you didn't, then you couldn't get angry. You're angry because you care. Right? You're angry because you care. And some of you are probably thinking, that's what I've been telling you for years. I honk the horn furiously because I care. So let me also tip my hand slightly here and tell you this up front. God does not share all your personal vendettas. God does not share all of your personal vendettas. But I get it. I get it. It's hard to keep our anger in check, though, because most of us have trouble differentiating God's justice from self-justification, between healthy anger and poisonous wrath. So let's define wrath. Right? Wrath is the excessive, misdirected, vengeful expression of your own bruised ego. Ouch. Wrath takes everything personally. If you take things personally, chances are wrath will come out. It mutates an appropriate passion for justice into inappropriate aggression fueled by pride. Its attitude is, I want what I want. Nothing and no one better get in my way or they'll pay. Maybe you've said that before. Its agenda is thyself. Its aim is to eliminate anything in your way. Retaliate to any perceived threat to your security. And avenge any insult or injury to your fragile ego. It says, if you dishonor me, if you disrespect me, or damage my reputation, well, buckle up, because I'm going to make you regret it. And it convinces you that you're perfectly, perfectly justified in doing so. It helps you invent all sorts of rationalizations as to why you deserve what you want, why others need to be punished for not giving you what you're owed, and why you need to act this way to get yours. This is why wrath catches our attention. The rage-filled reaction doesn't match the situation. This isn't about the plant. This isn't about the guy cutting you off in traffic and you're not actually this angry at the vending machine, unless that's your last dollar and it didn't give you your snack. So now you have to deal with hangry. Gosh, tough crowd this morning. The reality is, right? The reality is that wrath's roots are often buried in unresolved hurt. In other words, the wrath comes out of you because there are underlying issues that you have not addressed personally. If you follow the breadcrumbs backwards, you're likely to find this unreconciled loss, something that a person is powerless to get back, heal, fix, or protect. So they rage. They rage against anything that reminds them of it. And if you don't take the time to self-reflect, to have this self-reflection, it'll never resolve. You'll never be able to fix it. You'll never be able to get on top of it or ahead of it. This is what God is getting at with his question. Like a great counselor, he's inviting Jonah to reflect, to think about this, right? Is this something to get this wrathful about? Is it possible that this is about something else, Jonah? And of course it is. Of course it is. He tells us as much in the verses right before in Jonah 4, verse 2, he says, "You are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people." And he says, "Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen." And the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?" Is it right for you to be angry about this? In other words, what God is saying here, and he's saying in verse 9, is, listen, I don't think that you are really mad at the plant. I don't think it's about the plant. I think you're mad at the people. And you're taking it out on the plant. You see, you're mad at the people, but you're actually taking it out on the plant. And Jonah definitely was. He tells us so. And the question is, why? Why would Jonah do that? Well, Jonah didn't want to tell the people of Nineveh about a forgiving God. He didn't want them to know about this God that was all gracious, because he didn't want them to be forgiven. He didn't want them to be forgiven. He wanted them to die and rot in hell. You losers. Right? He hated them. But did he have a right to be angry at these people? Well, if you kind of take the story and you get the context of the story, I think the answer is sure. He has the right to be angry. He has the right to be angry. For generations, the Ninevites, right, they terrorized the Israelites, you know, Jonah's people. They'd march their armies into the city, and because they were bigger and stronger and more violent, they would steal food and kill animals and take their animals and their supplies and their valuables. They kidnap and rape women, right? He probably saw some friends and family members abused and even murdered. Chances are he grew up as a boy living in fear, witnessing the unthinkable and feeling helpless. That's what he grew up. That's what he saw with his eyes. So yeah, there was reason for him to not like the Ninevites. Yes, there was reason enough for him not to want to share God's forgiveness and grace. And over time, this righteous anger that he had toward the wrongdoing of these people mutated into hate, into bitterness. The healthy anger at injustice became poisonous, right? It became a poisonous wrath that rotted him from the inside. You see, anger wants things to be made right, but wrath wants people to be punished for what they did wrong. There is a difference, folks. So one day God says, hey, Jonah, woo! Jonah, I've got a job for you. I got a job for you. I need you to go to the people you deeply hate for justifiable reasons and tell them that I don't like what they did. I don't like what they done, but that I love them. I love them. Jonah, woo-hoo! I want you to help me give the people that hurt you. I want you to help me to give the people that hurt you good things that they don't deserve, because I'm a gracious and loving God. And Jonah was like, what you talking about, Willis? What the hell? No. Sorry, that's a joke that my family's had the last few weeks. It's dumb. Sorry. But you know what all of this reveals? It reveals that ultimately, he is not mad at the plant. He's not mad at the plant or the people. He's mad at God. He's mad at God because God is giving grace to people that he thinks do not deserve it. And they don't. And neither do we. And neither does he. 3 days before, he was pleading with God to save him from destruction. And now he's pleading with God to destroy the people that he just saved. This is what it feels like to be a person, to be human. I want extravagant grace for me and harsh judgment for them, especially if they hurt me. Author Rachel Held Evans once wrote, what's offensive about the gospel is not who it keeps out, but who it lets in. Think about that. What's offensive about the gospel is not who it keeps out, but who it lets in. In other words, God includes and lets his people come in. He lets people come in that maybe you and I probably wouldn't, because he's a gracious and loving God. Jesus once said in Luke chapter 7, verse 47, I tell you, her sins, and there are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. In other words, the more aware you are of your need for grace, the more able you are to give grace to those in need. And I want you to leave here understanding that this morning, that the more aware you are of the need of the grace that you have, that you're in need of, right? The more able you are to give grace to those in need. Here's the last thing that God says to Jonah in Jonah 4, 10 and 11. He says, you cared about the plant. Shouldn't I care about people? God tells him that. You cared enough about the plant, but shouldn't I care about the people? In other words, God is saying, I made you. I made you and loved you when you were wrong. And I made them and loved them even when they're wrong. I get no joy out of seeing people suffer. I want them to be saved. In other words, I want them to come and experience my love and my grace and my forgiveness. Jonah is never really able to get there. But the people he hates aren't suffering. He is. It's preoccupied his life. It's distorted his personality and stolen his joy. Why? Because that's what wrath does to us. It does more damage to the one who is giving it than the one who is receiving it. Friends, wrath creates a lot of collateral damage. Often the recipient of someone's wrath isn't the reason for their wrath. We aim our anger at who we can, not at who we should. And in doing so, we make everything worse. The Ninevites that Jonah wants to see suffer are not the ones who hurt him and his family. Years have passed. And the plant that he cursed, well, the plant didn't really do anything to him. Friends, when we dig below the surface of our wrath, when we dig below the surface of our wrath, it's all aimed at God. It's all aimed at God. It's this sense of, man, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. I don't like the way you're running things, God. I don't like the way you are handling my life. I don't like the way things are going. I shouldn't have to go through this. I shouldn't have to suffer. I shouldn't have to go through the hurt and the pain that I'm going through. I should be breezing through life. Did you or did you not create me? Do you not have my best interest at heart? Am I not your child? Life shouldn't be this hard. Why can't you just give me what I want? You see, you may not have said that out loud, but many of us have probably thought that. Because we don't like the situations that we find ourselves in. So I want to wrap this up this morning. We all have conversations with God. Some are in the morning, some are in the afternoon, some are in the evening, some are sprinkled throughout the entire day. Sometimes we whisper, sometimes we yell. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we scream and argue. But we all have conversations with God. And family-oriented holidays like Mother's Day tend to bring them out for us. God, why did I have to grow up with that mom? Why did I have to grow up without a mom? In my case, why did my mom have to pass so early? How come I cannot be a mom? Why does being a mom have to be so darn difficult? Why am I having to do all of this by myself as a mom? And there's so many questions that come up on days like today. And some of these things are justifiable reasons to be angry. They are. Because it's not fair. It's not fair in the situation and the perspective where you are standing. It's not fair. We live in a broken world where things do not go according to plan. If we were to survey this room and ask, hey man, what are your top three wishes? What do you wish to accomplish? What do you wish would happen in your life? What do you wish to do? Chances are, all of those three things may not happen. Because that is the world that we live in. It is broken and it is full of sin. Everything that is not how God wants it to be. But hear me out, church. Hear me out. God isn't doing this to you. He's not. That's not the type of God he is. That's not the God that we serve. He's not in the business of handing out bad deeds. He's not in the business of handing out wrong things happening in your life. He's not in the business of handing out hurt and pain and suffering. But he is willing to walk you through it. He is willing to hold your hand and walk you through the most difficult times in your life. And he will tell you, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be mad. But don't let it escalate. Let it become a raft that spews venom out, that hurts other people. There should be a part of you that wants what's wrong to be made right and just in all of us. But just be careful that your anger doesn't deteriorate into wrath. If you don't resolve your anger with God, you will continue to take it out on people, on your plants. One day you'll wake up and not recognize who you've become because you have not taken it up with God. Think about this. Who are you causing to suffer because you're mad that God didn't organize your story the way you wanted it? Who's paying the price? Because your life currently is not where you want it to be. Is it your kids? Is it your spouse? Maybe your co-workers? I can tell you one thing. You know who's taking the brunt of it? Who's carrying who's getting hit the hardest because of this, of what you're doing? You are. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of things, or I've been forgiven for a lot. We typically think of verses like this as being about other people. Mm-hmm. You should read that. It's for you. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put it on the screen. It's bigger. But what if this is also about God? Because here's the thing. You will not be kind or tender-hearted or forgiving towards others if your heart is full of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander toward God. I don't know if you were told this when you were a kid. You kiss your mom with that mouth? Kind of, sort of, almost the same thing when it comes to God. Well, Which again is why the proverb writer tells us to guard our heart. Proverb tells us to guard our heart. Don't let this stuff set up shop in there. Because once it's set up shop, all hell breaks loose. And you can't receive God's forgiveness if in your heart there's bitterness, anger towards Him. So how do we fight against this? I'll tell you what to do this week. This week, jot down as many good things that God has given you that you don't deserve. Jot it down, all of it. And read this list to yourself each morning this week and ask God to help you see your day and other people through His grace. Every time you look at that paper and think about the things that you do not deserve, think, wow, thank you, God. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the grace that I do not deserve. And help me to be better and do better. Amen.